Twilight Zone is better than Twilight.
This is the Midtown Comics Podcast, episode 65. I'm Thor.
I'm Demetrius.
Demetrius, why don't you introduce our guests that we have here today?
All right. Today we have a very special guest.
Yes.
Someone who has a lot of background with comic books.
Uh-huh.
Jeremy, who works at the downtown store.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Nice to have you.
Good to be here.
And we also have a special guest.
Oh, a special guest.
More special
than Jeremy.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Did I talk Jeremy up too much?
No, no.
I really didn't mean
he's
to.
He's a great guy.
He's not he's special. I mean, he's an okay guy, but you know, works at downtown.
Okay, get to the picture.
And the other gentleman here, a writer extraordinaire.
Gentleman.
His previous credits involve Haunted Tank for Vertigo and the miniseries, and also for Tokyo Pop, The Dark Goodbye. We have the current writer of the next Marvel Zombies, called Marvel Zombies Supreme, Frank Marafino.
Hello there.
Hello, Frank.
How's my pronunciation?
Pronunciation?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Awesome.
That was actually a really good introduction.
Thanks. That's
better than anything I've done.
Appropriate to the person.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it worked out.
I had to top the Jeremy one because it was so great.
That's true.
Jeremy, what is your extensive background in comics?
Well, you know, I read a lot of them, and... Yeah,
okay,
read a lot
good.
Of them. Yep.
Excellent.
He works at our new downtown store. He's like the first guest, first co-host we've had from the downtown store. Right?
Well,
yeah.
You've had Ted, who is now
Ted, but he was a Times Square first when we had him.
Well, I'm pleased to be here representing the store. Yeah,
cool.
So, how is the store down there?
I love it. It's great. We got lots of stuff. It's a good location.
Do you have
the graphic novel for The Haunted Tank by Vertigo?
Last I checked, we do.
Good thing you didn't check yet.
It's flying off the shelves. So, Frank, clearly the big thing that we should be talking about is Marvel Zombies Supreme.
Sounds good.
That's your next big project from Marvel.
That's correct. It's available now through previews.
There you go. And
first issues.
If you are listening to this and Midtown isn't your normal store, although you could just order from us online, make sure to tell your retailer, your local retailer, that you want him to up his orders. Buy at least one.
Thank you.
Or email us if you predict that we will have low numbers also.
Do you predict it? I'm not predicting it.
I'm not predicting it. Marvel Zombies is always great.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, this Supreme thing, Frank was gracious enough to bring some preview pages.
Wait, should I be announcing that? Or?
Yeah, that's fine. No, that's no problem. I did officially ask from the editors what I shouldn't talk about, and they seemed to indicate everything was safe. And I'm not sure if they remember some of the things they talked about with me, but everything is safe.
Cool. Yeah, but, I mean, honestly, you know, we want a great wrap-up to the J. Michael Straczynski Supreme. We want a great great continuation to the Marvel Zombies, and honestly, it's looking good. It might be restoring some things to their glory, their former glory.
Yeah, I mean, you're entering into a whole different realm, I mean, with Robert Kirkman bringing this up first, so where are you taking...
Yeah, definitely. This is the sixth Marvel Zombie, as you mentioned, known as Marvel Zombie Supreme, and it really is different from any of the other Marvel Zombies books in the past, specifically that it takes place entirely in the Marvel Universe that we know as being the 616 universe, the regular universe. Is there other ways to announce it?
We call it...
Continuity.
in regular continuity.
Yeah, here in GC, we call it the real world. So, like, whenever someone asks, does this take place in the real world?
You know, I was going to say real world, but I didn't know if that was...
No, real world is appropriate.
R&W or lowercase R&W. But anyways, the editor book, Mark Panicia, who is the recent editor of the Marvel Zombie books, he edits Hulk and other great things at Marvel. It was important for him that the consequences be more real-worldish in the series, and he knew that people would care more and there'd be more at stake if the Marvel Zombies books were now located directly in
because it presents a threat to the heroes we know and love.
Absolutely.
Well, we kind of had that with the Marvel Zombies 4 and 5, right?
You're absolutely right, but there was some alternate reality shenanigans involved in those. And you're absolutely right that those alternate realities spilled into the Marvel real world.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was real threat at stake. But here it's based completely, entirely in the Marvel Universe.
Now, by that statement, do you mean that this is not the same zombie virus from the other realities and the previous ones?
That is correct. Good question. This is all new zombie strain.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we can it's going to change it up. They might not act or have the same methods of propagation as previous zombies.
Very well said. Yes.
Whoa.
Now, this is, I'd say all bets are off except for the fact that they are zombies. So certain things will take place the same. Yeah.
So for people who think they know the Marvel Zombies books, this...
This ain't your grandpa's Marvel Zombies.
Well said. Unless he's still around eating people.
Wait, but your grandpa would have to have been around 2001, I guess, reading Marvel Zombies?
Yeah.
Is that normal? Was that the target audience back then?
Grandpa's?
Yeah, was it Grandpa's? 2003, I think? Or was
I think it was, because they were trying to bring in all those old covers, remakes.
That's
so
right, yeah.
Oh, you recognize this because you're an old grandpa.
That's
so.
Right, and then Arthur Sudum, he had the sensibility to draw in the grandpas.
Yeah.
So the trick is to go back to those covers and see how many grandpas we see. Right?
Well, so are we going to have any more tribute covers?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Probably. I'm actually a little in the dark beyond the first two covers, which have already been solicited in previews. And in fact, I guess the cover for number three would be available online, perhaps, in early solicitation?
Yeah, possibly. It might be. Yeah.
Okay, but I'm going to guess they have been. I know originally the idea was for the initial covers to get away from the tributes, and perhaps alternate covers would still be tributes. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure how that's gone exactly. That's obviously an editorial
department. I guess we'll see.
We will see.
How closely did you follow the other Marvel Zombie series?
Well, the edict
the formula. Are there any jokes?
No, not following the formula. But I mean, have you read them? Are you
certainly, absolutely. I have read the previous Marvel Zombies, and with all deference to them, I say that this is not related to them.
Okay.
This is not only a new zombie strain, but a new story, a new beginning, a new jumping off point. And I think that's partly why they wanted to name it not Marvel Zombies 6, but Marvel Zombies Supreme.
Uh-huh.
So this is as you say, not your grandfather's or mother's or any other zombies.
The previous Marvel Zombies had one long-term repercussion that affected the rest of Marvel Universe for years to come, in that they introduced an original character in Headpool. Will we be seeing introductions to the characters?
That came from.
What will be your gift?
That's a very good question, and I wish I could answer that now. But in true cryptic fashion, I should just say that as it was important that there be real consequences, there actually there's a few game changers by the end of the series. A few things that will. Obviously, it doesn't affect the entire Marvel Universe,
right.
But certain parts of the Marvel Universe are changed by the end of the book, and it really happens towards the end of the fifth and final issue of the limited series.
Ooh.
But there are in the climax, there are consequences.
Yeah. For those of you who are about to drop it with issue four saying, oh, there's no long-term repercussions, wait till issue five.
Absolutely.
Was that something that you were pushing for or that editorial was?
Once again, it was one of the edicts that Mark Panicia, the editor, said to me early on is that the fans care if there's a continuity consequence, so it should matter. Mm-hmm. How can we work that in? Mm-hmm. But also thematically, story-wise, it seemed to make sense to work in things that would go forward as possible story elements in the future. And of course, any good horror story has a few unresolved elements at the end, of course.
Mm-hmm. Teasers, yeah. Are there any familiar faces that you can talk about that are going to be in the book?
Yeah, absolutely. Besides the Squadron Supreme, who are zombified, and everybody knows about that from the previews, perhaps.
Yeah. Or now.
Okay, yes. One of the reasons the book is called Marvel Zombie Supreme is that the big bad zombies in the book are the Squadron Supreme. And this means that they are super zombies, kind of like what we've seen in the past with the Marvel Zombies books. But these super zombies are...
different in some way.
Yes.
Cool.
Would if Mark Grunwald were still around and he were to pick it up, how would he feel? How do you think he would feel? Would
he
smile upon it?
That's a really good question. Mark Grunwald, one of his major purposes of the Squadron Supreme were to write about superheroes where there was some consequence.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Write about,
true, with the original miniseries.
You know, if this is one good thing about having a super team that wasn't initially based, except for guest appearances in the Marvel Universe, is they could have hard endings to their stories. Things they could be jerks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They could die heroically.
And they really were jerks.
most of them did seem to be, right?
And they changed their world. I mean, more than anything else we had seen, they altered their world drastically from the world we knew when they through their Utopia program, trying to make it a perfect place with their powers.
You are absolutely right. And that was important to him to investigate that and to explore it. And you look back at the original Squadron Supreme miniseries today, and it might seem dated, but at the time it was fairly
groundbreaking. It was a breakthrough. Inspirations came for years to come. Kingdom Come was inspired by it.
Absolutely.
I would even say Identity Crisis drew many elements from it, you know.
That makes sense.
I hate to say that all the influences went to DC, but even Marvel, I would say, wanted to use
Civil War, you know,
the Civil War,
accountability and responsibility of the heroes.
And some people would say that that's what the Marvel Universe heroes do well, is that there's more of a real-world accounting for people's actions. But to make a long answer even longer, I think Mark Grunwald, who probably... there's probably more bloodshed and carnage in this Marvel Zombies series than he would be used to in an average Mark Grunwald book. That there is a real sense, and there's a dialogue regarding responsibility. And
are you sure about that? I mean, did you pick up Captain America Man and Wolf that came out this week, the trade paperback, where Captain America turns into a werewolf and there's blood and carnage?
Is there blood and carnage?
No, very minuscule. He fights Wolverine, but...
He fights Wolverine. I would say I'm sure there's blood and carnage, but probably not as much. It's just, maybe I'm going out on a limb.
Sure.
Probably not as much carnage as in this series.
Is this book going to be mature rated?
You know, I don't know, but perhaps it should be.
Yeah.
It's funny. When I got tapped to do this, it was shortly after Disney bought the company at Marvel, and one idea was perhaps we don't want to make action figures of Spider-Man chewing people's heads apart. Maybe that's not something that's good for the company.
Sure.
And that wasn't an editorial edict. That was just something that maybe we should think in other terms. If we have heroes that are zombies, who are some heroes that
we can be cruel to?
Yeah,
that we can really have
well
fun
said,
with.
Well said. And certainly the Squadron Supreme, as you've mentioned, were jerkish in the past, and now they're cannibalistic crazies.
True. They're one step away from it. One mind-bending machine away from eating people, I think, in the original miniseries.
Yeah, actually, I mean, they did effectively eat people's minds in the original miniseries,
yeah.
The way that they perverted people's thoughts. But I don't even know what the question is anymore. I'm sorry.
Question. You could choose not to answer these.
Uh-oh.
But plot-wise, does the amphibian... Does he join the Squadron Supreme Zombies and then quit maybe four issues into it, saying he doesn't want to be part of it?
That's very funny. And I have to say that if
he's... Zombie no more.
I can't deal with you guys if you keep doing this.
That's a very funny question. And Amphibian is in the book. And perhaps if all the Squadron Supreme weren't zombified and weren't driven by an intense hunger for human flesh.
He might have.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, some of their personalities show through, but... They're not completely mindless, but they are driven by more than morality at this point. It's hard to be morally correct when you're chewing on people.
Hmm.
So the answer is wait and see.
Can you tell us a little bit about who the protagonists of this book are going to be? Because obviously it's not the zombies at this point. I'm looking at the art for the people who can't see this at home. There appear to be a lot of soldier-looking people. I'm not quite sure what's going on.
Just
with
so
them.
You know, Jeremy, we do have some people who can't see this at home.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to all the psychic listeners.
Telepath. Sorry, I didn't mean to marginalize you guys. Sorry.
No, but that was a very good description of the art. Yes, no, you're absolutely right. The protagonist of the book, who are not zombies, so hopefully there's some relatability, is a slightly new concept. It's Jill Harper is the captain of a super crisis special ops team, and her team are responding to a failsafe alarm, complete shutoff failsafe of Project Pegasus, which is the upstate
Project
New York.
Pegasus.
Project Pegasus from the old Marvel 2-in-1s, and as you mentioned earlier, Quasar spent some time there. But Project Pegasus, their edict back in the 70s, I'm not sure if it would still be the 70s, the Marvel Universe, but during the energy crisis here in the United States, the idea was in this top secret underground facility, they were going to investigate and explore options for alternate forms of energy.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure how often they tapped into the real-world scenario, but actually Mark Grunwald was one of the co-writers of those early...
Wait, are you saying there was an actual Project Pegasus?
I can't comment on the actual Project Pegasus, because that's top secret. But in the Marvel Universe, top secret Project
The real
Pegasus.
World, as we call it.
Oh, yes.
So you mean Project Pegasus' stated intention wasn't just to generate monsters, you know?
But it does seem to be what happened.
Yeah, I mean, there just was a lot of stuff coming out of those guys.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, you know, when you experiment with unknown energy sources, bad things are bound
when
to happen from time to time.
You know, find a cleaner fuel. You just get, like, you know, spores that try to eat people's heads. It just happens sometimes.
Absolutely, right.
The current edict is dealing with extra-dimensional abnormalities,
armor,
right?
I believe.
That is armor. You are correct.
Armor
was the organization in the last two Marvel Zombies books.
What Pegasus has been doing the past couple of years.
Interesting question. And we'll answer some of that in this book. But in some of the research that they're doing into alternate forms of energy, things have gone awry.
Uh-huh.
And the complete facility was shut off, including communications to the outside world, and it's up to this super crisis special ops team to show up and see what's been going on there.
I'm not sure if you touched this, but, you know, what's the scenario where these guys go in rather than calling in some superheroes? Is that is there something going on with Hammer or in S.H.I.E.L.D. or those remnants where they have these guys now?
That's a very good question. And this you may be familiar with the old guardsmen who were basically human guards.
Stark technology. They're the green Iron Men. They were
way of saying that. Yeah, this is more of the same, but this is the alpha team of the guardsmen who are tasked specifically with responding to super crisis. And you may think it's along the lines of items that were touched on in Civil War, where perhaps folks who are former military can be more counted on to follow orders when you're going into a tough situation. Mm-hmm. So these are all folks. It's sort of like a G.I. Joe, where you're picking the best of the best from different organizations. So they're very military-minded, but they've got all kinds of tools that normal military wouldn't have, because these tools and weapons are specifically created for dealing with super crisis.
Right. And so these are all new characters. We've never seen these people before.
That is correct, yeah.
Can I guess what the alternate means of energy was?
Sure.
That went wrong?
Well, I think you can guess what ended up happening.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me say my thing. You say your thing. I think these guys grabbed a Marvel zombie, put him on a treadmill, and dangled human flesh in front of him, and they thought that it would generate
and
enough energy.
That is
a never
just keep
tired.
Running.
That's
they never
great.
Get tired.
It's
they
brilliant.
Keep wanting
it's
flesh.
Huge. Yeah.
Was that it? Was that it, Frank?
You know, that's a great idea. But those damn zombies, their legs fall apart, and they sort of drift off the treadmill, and they
slowly deteriorate.
They do deteriorate,
exactly.
Don't they?
So,
man.
So it's very good.
Sorry, I'm so stupid.
Well, no.
My mom was right.
No, but that's the thing. Experimenting with alternate forms of energy, sometimes it doesn't work, right? That sometimes you have these spores that create the – what was the guy who swallowed up universes? The
Galactus?
No. But there was a –
Oh, Kobayashi.
that may be a newer trend, but no, the nullifier.
The ultimate nullifier?
No,
that's
there was
the gun thing.
There was a character who, back in the Marvel 2-in-1 series, the thing, was effectively swallowing up universes, and he actually appeared in the final Mark Grunwald one-shot of the Squadron Supreme.
You are venturing outside my knowledge.
Okay, very good.
Was it the Shaper of Worlds, was it?
No. I should have come more prepared with the background knowledge. But anyways, the point is, yes, there's a lot of dangerous things that happen with
alternative energies.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool.
And sometimes green turns red.
Well said.
So do you want to talk about any of your past projects, Frank, or any other projects?
Sure. Well, I mean, if you ask, I should probably just hawk some of the books that are available on the bookshelf.
That's
the
true.
Tank is one of them that you mentioned.
Did you how was it working on The Haunted Tank?
Fantastic. It's a dream come true, but I didn't really dream about it for very long before it happened. But I mean, it's one of those things where it was better than I could have ever imagined. And part of it was the subject matter. Part of it was the team I worked with. And people don't know Henry Flint here, who illustrated that book. He's a British artist who's very well known in Britain, but here he hasn't done that many things.
He's done like 2000 AD, right?
Tons of 2000 AD work, absolutely.
I remember seeing some of his stuff in the collections that we have here, actually. But I guess he doesn't have too much...
actually, in some of the Titan reproductions of the 2000 AD stuff, he's been collected a lot in that stuff.
Cool. What's he worked on?
Recently, he wrote and drew Zombo. Just to bring it back to Zombie. Yeah, no. But he's like a lot of the artists there, done tons of Judge Dredd material.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I mean, he's worked for... He's a veteran over there, an old hand. And that actually helped The Haunted Tank immeasurably, because his storytelling prowess was incredible. Mm-hmm. And he actually... Not only was his storytelling prowess incredible, but he changed up his art style a little bit. And made it a little more... In the black and white books, when there's no color in 2008, the artist
contrast, right?
Yeah, they try to, if they know there's going to be no color, they spend a lot more time with contrast on the page, where he actually could spend more time on his line work in The Haunted Tank. And
I loved the ghost's expressions in that book, you know, whenever he was reacting to the soldiers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Henry Flint on that book did a fantastic job.
Do you want to tell us about your take on The Haunted Tank versus the original, or...
Well, sure. The Haunted Tank is not my idea, of course. It was like many of the weird war books from yesteryear. It was a Robert Kaniger idea, where Jeb Stuart, a actual Civil War Southern general, haunted a Jeb Stuart tank, a light armored tank in World War II, because it was not only was the tank his namesake, but so was the captain of the crew there.
Uh-huh.
And
turned out he was like his descendant, right?
Yeah. Well, originally it was just a namesake, but I think they wrote in later it was as a descendant.
Yep.
But it was the crew originally was all Southerners, and they had all they played war as youngsters, and they grew up and joined the military together.
And this was one of their heroes that was coming to haunt
their tank.
They were
very referential towards Jeb Stuart, the character, and when the ghost showed up, only the captain of the tank could see. I'm sorry, the commander of the tank could see the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And the other tank crew would make fun of him for talking about the ghost. But, yeah, it was very reverential, from the tank crew. And it's a little different with the modern book, where it's a multi-ethnic, cross-country crew.
Mm-hmm.
Only one character is from the South. And they can all see the ghost, and they're not – in fact, most of them aren't very –
Impressed.
Absolutely right. Yeah, they weren't taught to respect their slave-only elders. The rest of them. And I would say hilarity ensues, but not for Jeb Stuart the ghost. He's not very impressed.
He's very much a man out of time.
Absolutely right. And unlike the original series based in World War II, the new series was at the starting bell of the Iraq invasion in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to play up some of the similarities of the Civil War era and the
Iraq War.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly right, which ended up being a bit of a civil war for a little while.
Yeah.
Cool. It's great to see a Southern gentleman, even a ghost, embarrassed every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's very true, although he would suggest that he wasn't embarrassed, he was offended. That was a big difference there.
Now, serious question. And... Yeah, well, so did you find it difficult to draw a contrast between Jeb Stuart and Yosemite Sam? Other than the height difference?
You know, it's really funny you said that, because just before the Haunted Tank miniseries came out, Brian Azzarello wrote the Haunted Tank into a series he was doing for this the same editorial team. It was Dr. 13. There was a Dr. 13 backup story.
I vaguely remember. Yeah, he did appear in that, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a lot of the forgotten DC characters.
Sure.
And Brian Azzarello said very kindly about the Haunted Tank miniseries I wrote, you didn't make him sound like Foghorn Leghorn, which is what apparently Azzarello was going for in his series, sure, where the Haunted Tank was one of many DC properties that were being used. It was much easier for him pushing that comedy to go for the easily identifiable Southern Southern gentleman full of guffaws, and he thought it was good not to go for that. And I don't know, all that form of talk is funny, but I actually read a lot of letters and diary entries from the real Jeb Stuart.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And even though people might talk a little differently than they write, you look at how they wrote back then, there was a much more formal way of getting your ideas across.
Which was a great contrast to all the soldiers cursing and just being very much, 18-year-old kids in the tank, and then this distinguished Southern gentleman.
Oh, absolutely.
Contrast in the dialogue there.
No, you're absolutely right. And in fact, Jeb Stuart, who went off to the Civil War, wasn't too much older than these folks, except in that era. Yeah, he died in his early 30s, the real Jeb Stuart. But he lived a full life before then.
I would say 30s back then was like 90 now.
Especially with the life he lived. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny to live such a life and document it so much like these guys did back in that era, if they were literate, if they could write. They really did document everything in letters and journal entries. But absolutely, he's more formal, which even makes him...
Not like emails today at all, or blogs, or Facebook. Or
if there was a modern-day Jeb Stuart, I guess they'd be looking in the future at his Facebook entries to get a sense of who he was.
And there's a great idea for the next series. Absolutely.
Soon future Haunted Tank.
Future historians will be, Facebook specialists. That will be what you're known for, going through old Facebook.
Well, actually, you're not far wrong. I don't know if you've heard, a lot of the U.S. troops overseas right now, they do have, they do blog, and they have video entries. And
Well, the Library of Congress is archiving every public Twitter, too.
Since
it started, yeah. So anything you ever put on Twitter
is... kidding.
What another waste of my tax dollars. God damn it. Jeez.
So,
when are they going to... Oh, man. When are they going to find, alternate sources of energy other than zombies, man?
Well, they have that. They just can't talk about it.
They might find something in the code of Twitter that will allow us to progress as
a species.
Exactly.
And
Jeez. They want to turn pi into the number 3 years ago?
Simplify
things. When we start on Congress, Frank.
It's a tough one.
When are you going to have a Marvel Zombies Congress where the Marvel Zombies eat them all?
That's a good idea. But unfortunately, that's in the real world, so you would all suffer the consequences of that.
I guess so.
So you're definitely starting to develop an almost sort of supernatural theme here. You know, you had the Lovecraft.
Dark Goodbye.
Tokyo Pop, Dark Goodbye. Haunted Tank, Marvel Zombies. Did you feel very comfortable in this genre, or do you want to do other stuff?
No, absolutely. I love horror films. Yeah. I love that type of sensibility. You know, when I was young, very young, I got into comics through G.I. Joe and Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like probably a lot of people. And it's a good example why licensed books make sense beyond the fact that, they're easy to advertise, that people who might not read comics come to comics through that. But I remember when I was really young, all the neighborhood kids would get together and say, superhero comics aren't cool, except for the X-Men. That was the exception.
But
at the time, there were the Atari Force was out and Omega Man, and there was also still the later issues of all the DC War books were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And it just somehow it seemed like those were the more interesting books to read.
Yeah.
Now, this was shortly before DC revamped their entire line.
And
this was sort of in the beginning of Jim Shooter revamping the Marvel line, and things were going to turn the page from the late 70s.
But this is when you still had the Howling Commandos and Sergeant Rock and all those.
I don't know if those were still being published at that point. I'd have to go back and look at it, but at least the DC, most of the DC war books were being published, but it just seemed to be the trend, the sense from the kids in the neighborhood that those were the cool books, those are the ones you wanted to read.
Hmm.
And shortly after that, it sort of changed, and myself, like probably the other kids, read a bunch of superhero books.
Right.
But my earliest interests were the war, the horror, the supernatural. That seemed to be a sandbox that you could play with a lot more themes.
Mm-hmm.
Superheroes have been used brilliantly by some writers to be metaphors for certain things,
mm-hmm.
but certainly any genre can be used for that. I mean, the best genre films are great metaphors for big issues in the universe, and comic books should be the same.
And so what is Marvel Zombies a metaphor for?
Well, I'm sorry that it's such an easy answer, but basically energy.
Energy, really?
There's some discussion early on by some of the characters about just how successful Project Pegasus has been in creating alternate forms of energy. And one question is, if you have superheroes, why not tap into that for energy sources? But how do you do that? You mentioned zombies on a treadmill.
Yeah.
Should you really get superheroes on a treadmill and have them doing nothing else?
Huh.
That's pretty boring for comic books.
Yeah. I wouldn't read pages of it. But a pair of jumper cables and just, you know.
I think you're thinking about a different type of book. I think that's beyond mature readers.
I'm sure you could use Wolverine for something.
Yeah.
What's he going to do?
He regenerates, use the energy from his regeneration to generate light.
Very good.
Yeah,
very good.
Totally. There we go.
Very good.
That makes sense to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just shut up, man. Do we have picks of the week to do?
We're going to move on to our picks of the week, but I want to remind everyone that Marvel Zombie Supreme will be out in, 2 months from now, right?
In March, whenever
in March.
2 months from now is. And that's the first two issues.
Two issues, yeah.
Yeah, we'll make sure to remind you when it's starting to come out. And if you aren't local to New York, make sure to ask your local comic book store to order a few more copies. Or you could just
demand it, you know.
Or you just order them online from midtowncomics.com, which I would recommend more. But either way, it's going to be great. Let's go to the picks of the week.
Okay.
Demetrius.
My pick is, are you guys doing Wednesday's picks of the week? Because you guys are suckers, because I'm doing Tuesday's picks of the week.
What?
Fantastic Four.
Always got to be different, man.
Fantastic Four number 587 is coming out this Tuesday, folks.
We're going to be open.
I'm confused. What's going on?
Well, what happened is Marvel is telling retailers giving retailers permission to sell it early, sell it on Tuesday. And Midtown Comics will be participating, selling in a poly-bagged issue. Bag issue.
A polybagged bag.
With the number 4 on it.
Number 3.
Number 3 on it, I'm sorry. Number 3 or number 4?
It's a 3.
I hear 2?
All right. With a number 3 on it, because a member of the Fantastic Four will die this issue, and it will be for good. We will never see his character again.
That's true.
Wow. This
ever
is all
again.
News to me. I'm just processing this.
Followed by, a month later, we will have Fantastic Four relaunched.
Is this the first time a new comic book has ever been sold on a Tuesday? This is like history.
No, we did Scott Pilgrim on a Tuesday.
Scott Pilgrim
and,
did that.
Dark Tower did it a couple
Dark
times.
Dark Tower, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Marvel Zombie Supreme in the future if the
Perhaps.
Zombies
we'll make a
have
push
their
for
way
it.
On a
Thank
Tuesday. Get the jump on everybody.
But yeah, Fantastic Four, number 587, folks. I mean, I know I'm buying a bunch, and saving him for later. My Superman in a bag has paid off. Wait, is the three a bloody three?
No.
No? That sucks. They should have made it bloody.
But, you know, you do mention that, but they did say that this book won't go into any other print runs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's really? Just this
no more print runs.
Initial print runs.
Get
so,
it while it's hot, yeah. Folks, because that's all you're
there
getting.
There you go. The last Fantastic Four issue of this volume before Fantastic Four number one.
I really hate to buy into all of it, and I know I'm going to buy at least two copies of it, and I don't want to, but
I don't believe
I feel like I have to.
And one of the most common questions we're getting is if there's any limits to how many we could buy. We haven't set any limits yet.
Not yet, but
you
prepared,
never know.
Just in case.
Yeah, just in case. Be prepared.
Okay,
get your fresh.
So your book is clearly a little more exciting than all of our picks.
Yeah. let's see you guys top it. Who's next? Frank, what's your pick of the week?
I'm going to pick Chaos War number 5.
Wow.
Oh, really?
That's interesting pick.
Big over-the-top bonanza, but I've been sort of enjoying the Hercules Amadeus Cho journey over the last few years,
yeah.
And I'm hoping that in the final issue there'll be some of the sentimentality that the two characters can get from each other.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
what a great duo.
I mean, a great way to have the Hercules character spotlight is by
right.
having Amadeus Cho as
immortal.
The counterpart,
yeah.
And uh-huh. Certainly immortal, but he has a way of putting Hercules in his place,
uh-huh.
Like the court jester or whatever the mythological character with counterpart
the,
would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, trickster.
Trickster, there you go.
I would say, yeah, I am 100% with you. Hercules has been one of the best buddy books out there.
And yeah, so
stories.
In the middle of the big blockbuster action, I hope that there's a little character work, too, where we can sort of revisit those two. Because apparently this will be the last book that Pack and...
this is Greg Pack that's writing this one?
Yeah, and Van Lente.
Yeah, both of them, yeah.
Okay.
And apparently this is their final...
And both
Hercules
those characters have really completion. Gone through a lot in their arcs.
Oh, yeah.
Been, both of them,
yeah.
You know. And Amadeus has gone through a lot for Hercules.
Absolutely.
You know? Just like he did for Hulk. It's an interesting parallel.
Yeah.
He sort of tends to attach himself to these great, big, powerful guys. And then,
But I think this dynamic was far surpasses the
yeah.
Hulk one. I mean, the Hulk one was more like helping the Hulk.
Yep.
This one, you have such a good dynamic between two where even Hercules has come through for Amadeus in ways
right.
that Amadeus didn't expect. The story's been worth checking out, this entire
yeah,
series.
Yeah, I think Amadeus Cho is interesting what you touched on, him trying to help out other people. He tried to help out his pet wolf, was it? A pet dog
yeah.
right, at
the
one point.
The Skrull Trader.
Clearly. Maybe, yeah.
The worst one
of
them
give
all.
Give it away.
Oh, oops.
But, no, I mean, if you read into it a little too much like I do, you could say here is a young kid who's lost his family, and he's looking for mm-hmm. family.
Yeah.
And he's willing to go beyond what some of the other characters are going. Because
he's looking to give others what he himself lacks.
There you go.
You
there
know,
you go.
A protector.
I don't think I fully overread into that because some of the best writing on that character has been just about that, and I really appreciate that good character work even in.
I don't usually yeah. say this because I usually hear about Ex Machina, but that's a good pick, Frank.
Thank you,
Zing.
The book has been canceled for months.
Ex Machina?
Yes.
I thought it ended. I don't know. It got
canceled.
Canceled
is the wrong
ended,
way to say it.
Okay.
We can still talk
yeah.
about it, though.
Was that your usual pick?
According to him, even when it didn't come out, that's all I would pick,
that's
according
all
to him.
Anything with Rock. What's your pick in that case, Thor? I was going to say Ex Machina jokingly, but prove me wrong.
Detective Comics, sir. Batman. Continuity book. What do you think of that?
Wow. That's... Whoa. Is that
yeah.
Thor underneath the mask, or is that a Skrull of some sort?
It's a Skrull who reads superhero comics, I guess. Detective 873, Scott Snyder is writing it, and Jock, who did the art from The Losers and several other things. But it's been really, really great so far. This is the third issue of this story arc. It's very dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's very murder mystery. There's a lot that's gone on the past two issues.
This ain't your grandpa's Batman.
I guess not, but it's the other guy, the other Batman.
Dick Grayson?
Is that the other one? I mean, yeah, it's not Bruce Wayne. I know, that's all I know.
Yeah, it's Nightwing, the former Robin, Dick Grayson.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. It's that guy dressed up as Batman for some reason.
Yeah.
The one without the yellow on his chest.
Yes. But it's a really great story, and it's very reminiscent of, like, Dark Knight movies type of Batman, I guess, if for those people that are into that kind of stuff.
Did you guys hear about the Anne Hathaway
Catwoman?
Tom Hardy, is that the guy's name?
Yeah, I think so.
Catwoman and Bane?
Yeah.
Tom
yeah.
Hardy, the guy from Inception?
Cool.
Hey, which guy from Inception?
Apparently the big guy. I didn't see it, but he's a bald guy with like a mustache and something like that in the
no, no.
movie? No.
Tom Hardy is the humor and the grifter character in Inception? You guys see Inception?
Yeah, I did. Who is it?
Dream ideas. A Little Larger, Darling.
He's the one who made the idea.
He was in Rock and Roll also. I saw Rock and Roller.
No.
He's supposed to be a big guy. So
okay.
Supposedly it's fitting, and he's supposed to be a good actor.
Okay.
I hear.
All right, I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
How about Anne Hathaway, though?
I heard she's a good actress, too.
She's all right.
I saw some of her clips online for some of the movies she did.
What was the website you were looking at?
Jeremy, what's your pick of the week?
Yeah. Moving on. My pick is yet another zombie book because zombies are awesome and I will never get enough. And is Infestation. Yes.
Uh-huh.
From IDW.
One, right?
Infestation number one. And this is the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
A huge, ginormous crossover between a bunch of different properties, namely Ghostbusters,
uh-huh.
Transformers.
Star Trek.
Star Trek. And
did you say Transformers?
Yes. Okay. And G.I. Joe. Star Trek, Ghostbusters, Transformers,
Wait,
and G.I.
Joe. We get this straight.
Joe. I know. It blows
Transformers,
your mind,
G.I. Joe.
Yep.
Star Trek. And Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters and zombies.
And zombies from the Zombies versus Robots universe.
That's it. I'm suing IDW. They just crossed the line. They clearly stole my idea when I was five and I was playing with my Ghostbusters, G.I. Joes, Transformers, and Star Trek Megos.
Yeah.
And my broken toys, which I pretended were zombies.
Right.
And I said that, you know, they all were in the same universe being attacked by zombies.
Right.
They stole it from me, man.
You definitely have grounds, man.
All right. I'm going to a lawyer. Jeremy, do you have any law experience?
No, but I can fake it really good. We got righteousness on our side.
Frank, do you have any law experience?
No, copyright? But my wife's a lawyer.
Awesome.
And she's too much of a nerd to help you out. She wants to read these books.
Ah, damn it. These companies always win.
I really am interested.
What's the story in this
one? Yeah, because how do you tie in a bunch of universes that have nothing to do with each other?
It's really not that hard.
They're all Mattel, right?
I haven't read it myself, but apparently in Zombies versus Robots, you know, there's an interdimensional tear, and, you know, that starts it. And this same tear occurs in all these other books. And it's just like Marvel Zombies, you know. There's an alternate universe where the zombies are, and a hole opens between ours and theirs, and apparently between each other's, and they all sort of, you know, intermingle.
That's what happened with my toys.
See, I think that might be the difference between, you know, some comic readers and myself or anybody. Really, it's just that, you know, how they all get connected was probably the last thing on their mind when they thought of this. Like, oh, we'll figure it out. But, like, it's the only thing I could think of. Like, how is that going to work? I mean, I'm so focused on that.
I'm finding is people are like, how do zombies work in Transformers universe? How does a zombie threaten a Transformer?
Computer virus.
Well, they're still organic, too, though. Technically.
Has it been sort of established that they're sort of...
They're living and stuff.
If they had, like, nanos and stuff, I figure those are, like, cells.
Did you see a Transformers movie?
Yes.
When did you see Transformers 2, the movie?
No, I'm talking about the original cartoon.
1985. From the
80s. Oh, yeah.
When someone gets, when a robot gets shot in the chest and dies,
I would consider
that a living thing. When it gets shot in the shoulder and dies, that's a little bit overkill.
So I just remember in the second season, there was actually that virus that like turned the Transformers red, and they turned into very 28 days later attacking other robots and then infecting them. So I feel like there's now a basis for that sort of zombie infection spread among the Transformers going all the way back to G1.
Zombies. Who's writing that, by the way?
I'm actually not sure.
Oh, Abnett Lanning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's another reason why I was like, I should actually probably read this.
You know, actually, my story was kind of different now I think about it, because I had Ninja Turtles fighting them, too.
Yeah.
That makes all the difference.
Damn it.
Well, that's just...
I have no case to that.
If IDW had Ninja Turtles, you know that.
Well, I also had Bart Simpson. Is that... Bart Simpson was involved in my story, too.
Was he a zombie, or was it Bartman, or just Bart Simpson?
It was Bart Simpson. There was no Bartman figure at the time.
Oh, you didn't customize your Bart to make a Bartman?
Nah. Didn't think that far ahead.
All right. Let's quick review. Fantastic Four comes out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
The death of a character. Don't know who. Your pick was Chaos War.
Who do you guys think it is?
Yes.
Who do you think it is, Frank? Who dies?
Oh, I'm going to say Franklin Richards.
That's your informed opinion.
No, it's very uninformed.
How about you? Who do you think dies, Jeremy?
I'm going with Reed because Valyria makes him redundant. They already have a genius. They can do without him.
But there isn't a stretchy character.
Yeah.
You need a stretchy guy. I mean, JLA proved it.
Yeah. We need at least one stretchy guy.
Who do you think dies, Thor?
I'm going to go Johnny.
Johnny?
Yeah. There's already how many different Human Torches in the Marvel Universe?
Right.
What? There's like one.
Toro.
Aren't the other ones like dead?
Oh, Toro, the original Human Torch.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's three.
So you're saying that is the reason. Again, it's not for story. It's
I don't know the story. I haven't been reading it.
No, but I mean, you can plug in another Human Torch into the Fantastic Four.
So maybe that's a bad call because that would be the less impactful.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
What do you think?
I think it's probably going to be... You want impactful?
Yeah.
If Invisible Woman dies, it becomes a sausage party. That's pretty impactful.
Changes the whole dynamic.
Really loves that.
The different definition on impactful.
I mean, you can't bring Luke Cage in after that because it gets worse. You know, what you get Ant-Man... You can't get him.
What
Black
about
Panther.
She-Hulk?
Yeah, dude, She-Hulk or Storm.
That's what I'm saying. You got no choice. You might have to bring in She-Hulk.
Hulk?
She-Hulk, yeah.
She-Hulk?
That ain't no
what
Hulk.
About the female thing? Then we can have two things on the team again.
That's true. The female thing is still around.
Yeah.
Former Miss Marvel. Yeah.
Sharon, I think was her name. I can't remember.
Sharon Thingowitz.
Sharon Thing Lady. I think there was an issue of four where she goes on a girl night out with Sue and She-Hulk.
A girl date.
People. Yeah.
Is that
girl
what they call
out, you know.
Girl night out.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I could guess who the friend was.
Who?
Duh.
Yeah, okay.
The one who's like, you know, guys, you know, let's just go home. These guys are creeps. I'm sorry. This thing got a little...
it got too real for you.
Too real. All right, let's just move on to the sales.
Yeah, what do you got for this week's sales?
We have currently on our website 25% off of DC graphic novels and hardcovers.
All right, that's a really good sale, actually.
It's pretty
that's
good
an
sale.
Amazing sale.
Yeah, it's a lot of graphic novels and hardcovers. Also, you can get up to 50% off of all collectibles and up to 50% off of all books. And that, you know, that's books like
reference,
you know, novels,
that you read,
reference.
Cool.
Like non-graphic novels, fellas.
Is that the rest? That's all the sales?
That's all sales. And then currently, a little FYI, guys, outside of all our stores, we are handing out flyers, which can give you 20% off of everything. So look for the flyer person.
They got a bright orange vest.
They'll be screaming really loudly.
Yeah. Get down comics!
Yep. And just get a coupon and bring it in. 20% off everything.
Yep.
Everything.
Anything.
Anything.
Or anything, yeah. That's
yep.
great.
Except for the employees.
Yes. Just a reminder again, we're going to have Fantastic Four 587 on Tuesday, not Wednesday. So if you guys want to come in a day early to pick that up, we recommend it because we won't be getting any more in as far as I know. I could be making that up, but that's what I'm going to say just to get you down here. And also, at least not polybagged. That's true. And next week, I think, actually, is the spoiler variant cover.
Spoiler variant cover?
Yeah, because the reason it's polybagged, they don't want anybody to be looking, flipping to it on the floor and saying, oh, look who died, and then ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, it sucks. Let's make sure no one reads it in the store.
Right.
Yeah.
And just for everybody, if you do happen to know or you do happen to open it in the store, you know, there's a lot of people who really want to be surprised at home when they read it. So just sort of, you know, keep those answers to yourself until you get home.
I'm going to be first in line Tuesday morning and then have a giant dry erase sandwich board that says blank is the one that dies. And
Dumbledore?
As I read it,
in a megaphone.
Is it going to say Dumbledore?
No, it's not.
Make sure you spell Herbie correctly on your sign.
Poor Herbie.
Ultimate disappointment with that.
Lumpkin.
Willie Lumpkin.
Yep.
Well, he's been there for a really long time. He's impactful.
There you go.
He's everyone's mailman.
How are they going to get their mail?
Ever again. It'll be a mail crisis in the Marvel Universe. Launch another civil war between the Marvel UPS and Marvel FedEx to see who gets over the route.
Totally destabilize, you know, the package delivering industry.
Okay. You can always follow the store on Twitter. It's Midtown Comics, one word. You can email the podcast@midtowncomics.com. You can find us on Facebook, and we have a blog, Midtown Comics blog. We have super fandom forums if you want to discuss everything you've heard in this podcast today and, you know.
And other things.
And other things and everything. And that's it. Frank, where can anybody find you out there in the worldwide interweb?
Or in the world. Where can fans harass you?
You know, harass me at Midtown Comics. You can see me shopping in the aisles.
He does shop
here at
Grand
Central. I'll
have
a better
answer later. Cool. That works, too.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Demetrius, do you have any final words for us?
Yes.
Okay.
In keeping with the theme, we will do the final words of Zombie Phoenix in Marvel Zombies 2 when she faces the Hulk. Frank, can you be the Hulk for me?
Sure.
All right.
That's good, Hulk.
So she says, don't worry, Hulk. This will be quick.
Hulk hate Fire Woman. Fire Woman try to hurt Hulk. So Hulk hurt Fire Woman more.
Spluck. Scrug.
Her.
And he crushes her head.